Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's that time of the week again. The Rugby League rant, fifth and last. Put on your headgear, chuck in your mouthguard, and get ready for an hour of nothing of the NRL tour. And if there was a weekend for the comeback, it was certainly the round just gone, round 17, Boxhead.
Yeah, it was, mate. It was a lot of topsy-turvy matches. My tips went out the window a little bit on the weekend, but, you know, it's a new week this week.
Yeah, well, I think the Penrith game ruined my perfect round. And last night, Gossett was going for a perfect round and he had the Dragons. So
no, I had the Dragons as well.
We both went down in flames and you were right. I think you tipped the Broncos.
I think I got five.
Yeah, you tipped the Broncos, the Dragons and the Panthers. Ooh, good times. Starting off with the Fast Five as always. Best, worst, high, low. Any questions coming to the round? Who is your best?
The best was Melbourne Storm. Definitely. Yep. Need I say anything else? They smashed the Broncos at home. I tipped the Broncos. I thought they'd bounce back, but they were clinical, Melbourne.
Well, I had Melbourne as well. And again, touching on what I said last week, no Glasby, no Nelson. Chambers still not there. Greeny was back finally, but no Munster again. And they lost Harris for a little bit, I think, with ribs. I'm worried about that.
Harris was off.
And McLean is now out for 8 weeks. So yeah, they've lost a couple of forwards, but they're still rolling on. Individually, I thought James Tedesco. He definitely won the battle of the fullbacks.
I thought Mitchell Pearce on Thursday, I thought he was very good.
He was very good, but I was happy to see Tedesco dominate in that game, as he has when he's been on the field, and happy that he's been picked as our number one. But what about your worst?
The Dragons.
Yeah.
Easy. Well, they were disgusting last night.
And terrible.
They couldn't get out of their own way. They couldn't get out of their own half. Their discipline was poor. They just ran one out. They were dog shit.
To put really, things really bad in perspective, and I sent this to you last night, how bad they are, and we say every week in attack, they've only scored 10 more points than Newcastle, and Newcastle have played 1,000 players.
Yeah, that's fine, but their cornerstone is their defence.
Yeah, obviously.
And their defence can't handle or stand up to the amount of poor field position that their offence lands them in.
Yeah, but that's what I'm getting at. Their offense.
Last night, they couldn't get out of their own end. Benji Marshall chip-kicked in his own end, like at a stage last night
he
where
chip-kicked on a fourth
tackle. Under massive pressure and they just couldn't get out of their own end. Gareth Widdop to me looks a little bit lost there. I think he's a quality player, but he's lost in that system, and that's the key word with the Dragons. They've got a system that doesn't suit the players they've got. They've got to change it up.
Well, I've said it before.
It highlights the fact that how rubbish the back end of the comp is and the fact that they're competing for a top eight spot.
Well, I've said it before and I'll say it again. He brought Jason Demetriou from the Cowboys to help with the attack, and I've done Cutters games this year. They play a completely different style of football to what the first grade side does. So I don't know if he's gave him any involvement. And like we've spoke about before, if you feel you're threatened by someone or you're not going to, you know, get what you need out of them, why bring him in the first place?
Mm.
Because I watch them and they look pretty good. They play a really good brand of football, but there's none of that translating through to first grade. So I don't know whether that's McGregor being stubborn or what the deal is, but don't bring him down in the first place if you're not going to let him have any involvement whatsoever. Highlight.
Graham and Tedesco getting in for Origin 3. That's a highlight for me. I think Tedesco, obviously, I think he would have been there game one if he wasn't injured. Graham had the suspension, but I'm pretty happy that they're both in. I would have liked to have seen Adam Reynolds dropped, to be fair.
Who for?
Pearce.
Pearce back in.
I think Pearce is the best half. Well, I said that before the series. I don't know. I watched Adam Reynolds on Sunday afternoon and watched pretty closely.
It's been awful this year in general. The Souths were on my list there with the worst. Them and St. George are both painful to watch. I don't enjoy watching them at all this year.
No.
There's nothing good about it. My highlight was similar to yours. I wanted to go there, but I went the Sharks comeback. The fact they won again, the spirit they played with, they're a great side to watch. I love the offloads. They kept pushing the pass. They went straight after Parramatta when they were down. They didn't panic.
Mm.
And even early on when they conceded the soft try and the intercept and whatnot, they were still pushing the pass and trying to play football.
Yeah.
So they weren't going to die wondering, but I enjoyed that. But low light.
Sammy Radradra. He's just his...
The way he's carrying himself.
Carried on. I think the Jarryd Hayne face swap thing was just insensitive and dumb. Semi Radradra walking across the field, he was getting interviewed spitting like a grub. Look, I think the game should just be rid of him. If he wants to go, let him go.
Well, we've said it a million times before. Every time we think...
overvalues his own importance.
Every time we think we need someone, someone comes along. Even the Sonny Bill thing, like, he had his second stint, sure, but we had, there's no great loss when he left again.
And I thought Semi Radradra, against the best side in the comp, got absolutely pummeled. Against the best side in the comp. Like, you know, scoring length of the field tries against South is great. But in a game like that where it was on a knife's edge, they needed someone to really stand up and have an impact on the game. He had zero impact on the game. So how do you demand big money when you can't deliver against the better sides?
Yeah, he clearly doesn't want to be there. I wouldn't want him there either.
He's bitching about how much money he's on. Then prove that you should be on more. And to me, it only highlighted that he probably should be on less.
Just get rid of him. How about that?
Well, I agree. That's my point.
It's happened before, let him go. And it's happened again. And he'll end up probably like...
punning.
A bird just saw somebody else who left and said it was for the challenge and the money, and then 12 months they come snivelling back, except one difference. We brought him back and paid him a squeal, and look how that's helped out South right now.
Yeah.
South are regretting their decision as well, but rugby league's a gift that keeps on giving. Players will come and go, and
look at Vinavalu. Said that 2 weeks ago. Look at Ben French.
Yeah, well, exactly. He's got a hat-trick on the weekend. He's not the same player, but there's always a kid ready and waiting. Yeah. They're always coming through. My low light was the Lawton leg break.
We had Davis the week before and then Lawton this week.
So. He's a hooker half who had to play in centres because you basically got no outside backs left. I thought he was having a pretty good game up until that point, and then of all the ways to start your debut, he cracks his lower leg. So,
They reckon it's a similar break to Jarryd Hayne, so hopefully not.
Not a good thing, but yeah, never what you want to see on debut. So speedy recovery for him, and congratulations to Simon Mennering. He's 250th. He was awesome in that game. Very good effort by him, but questions.
I just want to have a chat about the ladder. So who would you lock into the finals at the moment?
I've got three teams I'd lock in confidently.
Yeah, that'd be the Sharks, Storm, Sharks, Cowboys.
I still think the Broncos only have to win three games, so I've got them in. I've got the Bulldogs in. They're going to keep winning a couple more. They're in.
Yeah.
And I think the Raiders are in. So
okay, well, in my next breath, I had Dogs, Raiders, Broncos.
Yeah.
So realistically, which of these sides? I've ruled out
Warriors,
the Knights,
Panthers.
I've ruled out the Knights, the Roosters, the Seagulls, the Rabbits, and the Eels.
Yeah, they're all gone.
So it leaves us with two spots between the Warriors, the Panthers, the Dragons, the Titans, and the Tigers.
Well, I don't want to see the Tigers or...
I don't think the Titans. I think the Titans are borderline gone just with the fact
injuries.
That their roster.
Well, I basically did a predictor last night on the ladder because obviously next week is the last podcast me and you'll be doing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do what I think the ladder is going to look like when I get back. My finishing ladder had Penrith and the Warriors at 7-8.
At the moment, I'd agree with you with the Warriors. I'm very, very,
very cautious
look,
as well.
I think the two clear standouts that are. Shouldn't be in the eight are the Dragons and the Titans.
Well, I was about to say it. The Dragons.
I think the Tigers are an outside shot, but to me, in the box seat at the moment, Warriors and the Panthers. But see, that loss on the weekend from Penrith opens the door a little bit for the Tigers.
Look at this week for the Tigers. They play the Dogs, who are probably their origin affected. But you take Tedesco out of the Tigers, I basically tip against them 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
So no Farrah, no Woods, no Tedesco. I reckon they lose to the Dogs this week. Dogs minus some forwards, but with Graham and T-Rex and playing a bit better and the Morris brothers left behind and their halves, etc., I think they've got enough to get a win. So I think those six teams, Raiders, obviously, they lose Papali, who's out injured anyway, so he's not playing Origin. That's the only change for them. They get Cowboys minus Morgan and still six Origin players because Gavin Cooper's getting the debut this tour.
Yeah.
So you think they're going to go to 10 with the draw. I'm happy to say those six teams, and the Broncos will find a couple of wins. Even if they did scrape in, they're going to get 12 wins.
Yeah.
So I think those six... Penrith and the Warriors, I know people, we always say this time of the year, but with Parra moving out of the way, the Warriors are in the box set. The one that's really got the opportunity here, and I hope they don't get in, is the Dragons. They're in the best position, but I hope they fall over because they're just terrible. I think they've got a couple of wins they probably didn't deserve to get, and I just don't want to watch them. Last year, I felt the same way when I watched them play the Bulldogs. People were like, that was an exciting game. Well, it was a horrible game.
Well, it probably was an exciting game in the fact that
it went down to the wire. But
The fact that they were rubbish all year, and that was probably as exciting as the Dragons game got.
But I wanted them out. I was begging for them to be beaten, even though the Bulldogs weren't much better. But I don't want to watch them. I'd rather watch the Penrith or the Warriors crash and burn, just completely trying to roll the dice, than watch the Dragons play.
I agree.
So that's basically my eight. I'd be with you there. Titans, I'm with you, just on injuries. And the Tigers, I don't think, can pull enough out of the fire, especially this week's going to be a game that hurts them again.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to track 5 wins. On the run home against Origin teams. So, yeah. My questions, I basically only had a couple about Bird being left out, and why not Gallen and Farrow as well? Why don't we just make the complete cut? But yeah, I found that a little bit weird.
I can cop Gallen.
That Bird was the only one.
I can cop Gallen. I can't cop Farrow. I can't cop, and I couldn't have copped Bird, but I can cop Gallen.
Yeah, that's because the only one.
He was the captain of that side.
Yeah.
I tend to agree with his notion that there's not really someone kicking the door down in order to take his spot.
Well, that's the only one like you that I'm getting, but yeah.
But Greg Bird, he had a really, really poor game in Origin 2. He cost us multiple penalties, stupid offloads. To me, he doesn't stand out at club level.
And I know that...
I think the game's gone past Greg Bird.
And this is the argument again. They may say, who's playing better than Farrah? Farrah's not there next year, so it doesn't matter.
Who's playing better than Farrah? Michael Ennis.
Yeah, but you know, Pete's is there as well, and I think Pete's played well again on the weekend. And
well,
the week
I would have... I would have punted Jennings, and I would have played Jack Bird in the centres, and then brought Pete's onto the bench.
Well, I love
in order to get him into the side.
And if you want to talk about, mate, not so much his attack, he's got to work on that. There's no doubt about it. But as far as leading an offensive line, contact and attitude, he's built for
us. Well, it's just there's just a few ways I thought that Daly could have manipulated the side in terms of selections.
Yeah, to fit people in
to have
and
a look at.
I'm just going to throw it out there. If they didn't pick Leilua on the fact that his club wouldn't let him go, if that's the grudge that they're holding, that's just give yourself a triple again.
No, I don't think that's the case. I just think they generally didn't pick him. Well, which is stupid again.
But they were basically coming out, and the hint was that may have been the case.
Who are the centers? It's Jennings and who?
Jennings and...
I can't even think. That shows you how... Oh, it's Dugan. Okay.
Yeah, Dugan.
I can cop Dugan.
I would have dropped that too.
I would have dropped Jennings.
But Ferguson's still on the side as well. Even that one, to me, is quite
Ferguson,
surprising.
I would have gone. I would have had Moylan on the wing ahead of Ferguson. Or I would have been happy to play Dugan on the wing and have Leilua in the centres. There's a multitude of ways.
BJ can play on the wing, and he's good in yardage as well. So.
No, I think the first outside back that I would have slotted in was Leilua, definitely.
Mm.
And I would have, to have Pete's in the side, I would have moved Bird into the centres.
Instantly, after he didn't go into camp, which is the club's decision, not his, they were saying that they've put the pen through him. That was his fault. Then I'm like, well, he wasn't in control of that. The club asked... Why is he not in the side in the first place?
That's bullshit. Not a it's, play. That's rubbish.
So if that's their
it's
attitude,
paper talk. It's
if that was their attitude, though, that's disgraceful. So yeah.
Well, if that proves to be true, then Daly and whoever made that decision should be sacked.
Exactly. So I'm hoping that's not the case, but maybe it is. But questions
with the Origin side.
Questions from the fans of the podcast.
Make sure you answer the right ones this week, brother.
Yeah, some have come from few and far, actually. We've had some leading over the weekend in the inbox and on Twitter and whatnot, so I have to backtrack and I have to check the inbox. But Mark Hindle, for the podcast, take away the goal kicking, who would you rather, your starting centre, Croker or Whiten?
I said Croker. I answered him. Yeah. I had a chat with him on Twitter. I said Croker, but you're splitting hairs. Whiten, to me, he's got too many brain farts in him.
Defensively, when he's in the centres, I think he's better, but you want to talk about the all-round package, I'd probably go Croker, but yeah, that's...
Yeah, you're splitting hairs. They're both good players.
No different doubt about it. There's a couple here about Origin selections. Just saying, most people obviously not happy with Ferguson and Jennings still being in the side. Andre, our brother from Russia, I love your
betting
tips.
I've tipped him into a few.
He's caught on too that we hammered the Dragons. This is the Dragons' worst performance of the season. Would you agree? Nothing in attack and nothing in offence and errors galore.
I don't think it's necessarily their worst performance, but it's the performance that they're exposed. You know, I think they've probably played worse and haven't been exposed.
I think they were pretty bad.
They were pumped against the Cowboys and the Broncos earlier in the year.
Yeah, that was round three or four. So.
I tend to think they were worse performances. Last night, I thought...
For this point in the season, I think that was pretty bad.
Yeah, and maybe in the fact also that I don't really rate Manly. But I thought Manly had been really good the last 2 weeks.
Well, I think Manly's finally, like I said, getting some pieces back. Walker playing centre.
For me, it's not that. It's not the personnel change. To me, it's their attitude. They're getting off the line hard. They're whacking. And they really exposed the Dragons last night. They were soft, St. George.
No, they were very soft. The bloke Hammer. I don't know about you guys, but Aaron Woods is just not physical enough. Origin, time for him to cut his hair and grow a pair.
Well, I said it before.
Well, how many weeks have we said that we wouldn't pick him? We've said it 100 times. He's good at club, but he's not an Origin player. That's our opinion, but...
Similar to Gallen, if you compare Woods to Gallen, to me, Gallen's an Origin player in the fact that he's got a bit of mongrel in him. He goes after
blokes. He's got an offload.
He wants to compete hard.
He's a niggler.
To me, Aaron Woods, same sort of numbers. Like, he's a number... Yeah, cruncher or
he doesn't,
a
he doesn't whack blokes
but
or break tackles.
He doesn't intimidate me. And it's totally superficial.
And he gives away penalties.
I think he should get a haircut and clean himself up a little bit, and maybe people won't. We'll be scared of him.
Well, I think at club, though, he's not carrying himself in the right sense.
So.
And he always gives away lazy ruck penalties, and he goes at referees right now. I think he's got himself on a bit more of a pedestal than what he should. He is a good player, but
he's been reading his own press a little bit.
Could do a lot better if he just pulled his head in a little bit. But Captain Seaward, his worst was Penrith and their continuous habit of making me throw shit across the room.
Excellent. I can completely relate to that. Good luck. Not so much this year.
Mm. Randy Festus, how the hell is the Dragons attack so bad? Well,
they run one out in yardage to start with, which gives them no ruck speed. Their kicking game is shit.
Their halves
are unorganised.
Battle each other, basically. There's no shape.
Josh Dugan, to me, looks frustrated as hell. That was bad. His first game back.
How bad was the link pass, though?
He just bitched to the referees all night last night.
Can you believe?
Go and watch the replay, and every carry Dugan had in the first half, he turned around and whinged to the pocket ref.
What did I say again about New South Wales players and the way they carry themselves, even at club football? And then you put them all in a group together. He's another one, just like all those ones I said at the leaders that carry themselves like an absolute peanut during the game.
Yeah.
And you wonder why we get beaten by Queensland.
Yeah, I agree.
Just frustrating. NRL Profits, our mates there. Of course, Mitchell Pearce had a blinder, 17 dogs plus Brutus, the mascot, Spike and Belmore James. So he thinks he switched on because there was dogs around. Bit of a...
Bit of a low blow.
Got there. Bit of a backslap. Luke Tomlin's looking forward to a positive Brock this week. Graham in for New South Wales. School holidays and Titans showing effort. Smile, mate.
Put your head in, Luke.
Put your head in. I can never tell if you guys agree on anything. Always sound like you guys are about to punch on. Love it. Haha. Nah, I think we just both sound like angry. No. I think we just both sound angry in tone, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe not.
Maybe it's a voice thing.
I don't think so. I think Luke, mate... Have a Bex and a lay down, mate.
I think you're sitting there with your gloves on, hoping we might fight each other.
Mm.
I don't know. Well, and also, I've got a few more messages again. People still don't know who we are.
Oh,
that's luck. We're going to ping pong quickly again one more
bad
time.
Luck.
Ready?
No,
here we are. Here we are. Ready? Lewis.
Brock.
Lewis.
Brock.
Lewis.
Now stop.
Seriously, people, get it together. If anyone messaged me again...
Well, they're gonna get a good bloody listen to it in the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, if you can't figure out who Lewis and Brock are definitively once I'm gone after next week, I'm worried
for you. I'll be like the NRL Today guy that sits here and talks to himself.
Yo, mate. Good times.
I think he's done. I think that podcast is done.
Nah, you actually communicate with him.
Which one is he?
Yeah, we'll talk about it off there. Okay. You're probably listening right now and he's sitting there going, they're under me. Oh, no, the shame. Oh, wow.
Oh, well.
Nah, good on him.
All power to him.
He's a battler. Wow, we've got a fair bit going on at Facebook for such an early point in time. Rabbitohs performance, definitely the worst end of the year for the Rabbitohs. Andrew Wales, mate, 100%. They've been done basically since, I don't know, 4 weeks ago, I would have put a pen through.
Stick a fork in him.
They're just not showing any effort whatsoever. That's a divided group. There's a lot more problems, as we mentioned a million times, that just, there's a lot going on. The broom needs to go. I feel bad for Maguire, to be honest. He's in between a rock and a hard place with the playing group. Russell Crowe and everything that happened at the start.
Russell Crowe.
Russell. Fighting around the world.
Russell Crowe.
David Crellin. Where to here for the Dragons? They seem to be lacking spark and are not drawing in top line players. They failed to get Currie. Well, the big thing for them, they can't even spend their cap and they've got no third
parties.
Who
would want to go there?
And then look at their spending anyway. Their big solution to get a ball playing fullback in a side that didn't change its attacking structure was a bloke by the name of Kurt Mann, who, when Melbourne happily let people go, you should be worried. They happily pushed him out and he played centre and he was poor defensively for us. They paid $300,000 to get Kurt Mann.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I don't know what they're
thinking. That's just not smart business.
They had a brain fart.
Oh, they definitely did. Daniel Rennie, big fan of the show. Broncos, they're the worst. Is there any coming back from here?
There is, definitely.
There's time.
It's origin.
Yeah, and there's time, mate, for banking wins early. They're on 9, so like we said again, for 8 or 9 games that are left, they only have to win 3. So they've got time to turn things around.
I think they only need to probably win 5.
Is top 4 in question? I think it is.
Yeah, it is. Definitely.
Just because of the Bulldogs and maybe...
And I've got a sizable bet on Brisbane top 4.
Well,
am I nervous? Yes, I am about top 4.
And I think basically because I've seen Canberra's draw. I know you don't like looking at it, but let me tell you, it's a lot easier than Brisbane's.
Yeah, but as I say to you, late in the year, you'd rather a hard draw than an easy draw.
I'd rather a hard draw. I'm with you. But they've got a lot of problems going on right now that I hope they do iron out because they should be a premiership threat. But they've got time. They bank wins early. They're just going to have to dig themselves out. Mike Painter, question, which team in the comp has the best bench? I still think that the Cowboys would go close when they've got everybody there, especially in the fact that, I know it's not their bench, but the fact they can sit down Scott, Tarmow and Tamalolo and then unleash them again on you in the second half.
Yeah, and I think the proof's in the pudding in the fact that they won the comp last year.
Yeah,
a lot of that's got down.
Bolton and Hammett do their job. They maintain things nicely. They got Asiata, who's
a good
link player. I tell you what, again, it's going to sound biased. It always does when I say it. I think
Melbourne's
this
bench
year
is becoming...
Last year,
it was a bloodbath.
It was horrible. When we had Nelson, Kenny... Glasby, and like you got McLean, all those guys there, that was starting to form into a very nice bench. And even Felice does a pretty good job, but a couple of years ago, you just picked the Roosters. They were the one that had the gun bench. They had all the internationals, all the up-and-coming blokes, but I don't know.
The Sharks. Sharks got a strong bench. They don't lose a lot when their bench players come on.
No, they get a bit out of their bench.
So I think you're better off looking probably at the ladder. I mean, the ladder...
I think Canberra's got a pretty good bench, yeah. But you can't trust their side. I think it's a lot more balanced than what it was a couple of years ago. A couple of years ago, there was a couple of standout sides in particular.
Because everyone's now cotton onto it. You need 17, not 13.
Yeah, but in particular, a few years ago, that Roosters bench for a couple of years, every time you looked at it when they were healthy, and they were healthy for those 3 years, they won the minor premierships, that was the best bench in the comp.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Andrew Wales again. Did you think Gal scored a try?
I could be convinced either way. I thought technically they still had a hand on him. Did they have control of the tackle? No. So I could have gone both ways on it.
Mm. Adam Bain, how long until a player is held up in goal? Is there a set time rule for this?
Or no, it's when his body stops.
Mm.
That's supposed to be held up. When his momentum is stopped, that's theoretically when he's held up.
I've seen some I don't agree with. I'm going to go back a long time.
Hasn't Mel Mashley?
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up.
Still...
That was held. I can't believe that wasn't...
Yeah, he stopped and then went again.
And so I'm a neutral.
Theoretically, it was a double movement in combined with held up.
Well, I'm a neutral, and it made me angry when I watched that grand final.
Oh, yeah,
and
made me angry.
I was 14, for Christ's sake, but that one always sticks out in my head when people ask that question. That's the prime example of, like, when was he held? He got the roll, rumble, there was bodies...
You can never say time, because it's like a tackle. Like, if I tackle you and you're still moving forward... You can't say that after 3 seconds you're held because you're still moving. I think it's a movement thing. So as soon as someone's under you, your momentum has stopped, you're held.
Yeah, 100%. Jay Strasburg, touchies. What are their job in the modern game? They seem to miss a heap of forward passes even if they're in line with the ball. Well, I get confused most weeks as well for that reason. I don't think they tip the ref off enough about things that happen in the ruck. I don't think they call most of the forward passes. And half the time when the line calls were in a clear position, I don't think they make those calls because they're not confident to.
Mm-hmm.
Sad, but probably the truth. Nigel Huntley, who was worse, the Parramatta board or Laurie Daly?
Both.
They're pretty bad. I'm going to go the Parramatta board just because of length of time that they've been so bad compared to Laurie. Laurie has been bad.
I'll tell you it was bad. Stuart Ayres yesterday, he said James Mansell. He's had a
Manly Warringah Seagulls.
John Grant moment.
Oh, brilliant.
And James Mansell. And he's a Panthers fan. He's a Penrith boy, Stuart Ayres.
Yeah, good one.
Come on, mate.
You're a sports minister.
Fair dinkum.
Give yourself a triple. You took my job. Oh, you're still trying to take my job. And what's the other one I'm trying to think of right now? Dave Smith. Is it Benji?
Dave Smith.
Was it Benji Barber or one of them?
Benji Barber. And he got Cam Smith's wrong name, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Good times.
That's why you hate him.
Love your work, banker. Love your work.
Yeah.
Back to the financials. James Hughes, thoughts on Kevin Durant to the Warriors?
Love it.
I love it. And people are knocking him. How could you? 10 years, he's paid his dues. If he wants to win a ring, go win a ring.
Go for it.
I'd go win a ring.
Part of me doesn't understand why, if he wants to win a ring, why he didn't go to the Cavs. He could have gone to the Cavs.
I'm
a Boston fan. I want him to come to Boston.
I want him to go to Boston too. I'm a Boston fan as well. But if you want to win a ring right now, put him in with those two. I think they're going to win it head and shoulders next year.
Well, I tend to agree. In the fact that they were horrendous this year and they only just lost.
They couldn't have played any worse in the finals. Draymond got suspended. Curry got injured during the finals, never got back to form. You throw him in there, they'll find...
And the Cavs, well, Curry and LeBron were standouts, but the rest of their side was pretty...
They're horrible. Well. And he self-recruits. They're not going to be as good. They're losing parts already.
So. He's going to buy D-Wade, apparently.
Yeah, well, what good's that going to do? He hasn't played good for 4 years. And he only plays half a season.
Exactly.
So...
His knees are gone.
If they're anything over $2 next year, I'm going to have a heavy investment.
They're $1.85 already, the Warriors.
There you go. So it's not even worth my time.
Oh, don't worry. I had a look.
Raymond Carlo, Bulldogs top four thoughts. Same question.
Raymundo! They're in the top four at the moment, Ray.
Every week, the same question. They've got a good chance right now. If they get a win this week against the Tigers at their origin players, they're in an even better position.
We might get Ray on the podcast while you're away.
You can do whatever you want. You go for gold.
Big Ray. It'll be 10 minutes that no one will ever forget.
Good times. Keith Sheldon. You are recruiting for a new club and you can choose between French, Mitchell and Trbojevic for your fullback. Who do you pick and why? Trbojevic. Easy. Latrell Mitchell has a few errors and things he needs to iron out in efforts. He's the youngest.
Mind you, I wouldn't be upset with any of them.
Nah, neither would I. I think French is probably a little bit nimble for my liking, a bit too small. I think he works on the wing for now and can turn into a fullback. But physically, skill set wise, the fact he's got the pass as well, I think Trbojevic is the one I definitely want.
Yeah.
So that's me. Jay Schroeder, is it this time of year we all fall in love with the Warriors when they start winning again?
Yes, it is. And I'm just... Are you laughing at the next question?
That's brilliant.
Yeah, oh, same. I had a giggle about
Jay Schroeder, love your work. Also, Cousin Gary, how about them Knights?
Yeah, how about them Knights?
There's even fans out there who will give it to Cousin Gary.
They tried their hardest to win.
Hashtag.
They're also trying their hardest to lose.
Sorry, Gary.
Can they still make the eight? How many losses have they had? 12?
Mate, they've won one game. There's like eight left.
So we're ruling them out?
Yeah. I think Cousin Gary switched off, but love your work, Dre Schroeder. Someone's paid attention to the Cousin
you
Gary.
You did say to me that they'd finish ahead of the Titans as well.
Oh, he also put seven...
They were a clear top eight.
He also put seven Origin players into the New South Wales team.
Yeah, Jared Mullen was going to play.
Kerry Patterson was in every year when we first started the show. Anyway, I don't even think he was there anymore, and he was still saying Corey Patterson should have been in there. Yeah, Matt Gidley.
He'd have the Rostog in.
He would.
100%. He'd have him over Fergo.
100% he would. Actually, you want to know, old Gary there, he's playing better than Fergo.
That's what I'm saying. Cousin Gary.
Happy days, Cousin Gary. Good work, Jerry Schroeder. Andrew Poynter, do you think something more serious is going on at Red Hill? The rat story from earlier this year potentially starting to take its time.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
The timing's a little bit...
Well, the one that stands out more for me is Milford. I know he's... form kind of dipped suddenly. He wasn't happy, they reckon, when Wayne Bennett basically slammed the fact he wanted to play for Samoa. So I don't know if that stepped on his toes, but I'm not reading too much.
You can't tell me that the players want to lose.
Nah, hell no. That's
what I mean. Like, so I think the players are trying hard. It's Origin period.
I think it'll turn.
Their mind is elsewhere. And Bennett nailed it. He said it started at the Sharks game when they were all worried about the Australian selections. You take Brisbane back to their form in the first 8 to 9 rounds and they're a top four side.
The next one. This is quite an interesting one.
Yeah.
Schermerhorn.
The name.
Villalobos Breaker. Will Foran be at the Eels next season?
My guess is as good as mine.
I kind of had the hint when the breach notice happened that maybe, you know, that might have been a quick little way
what
to
push. What a crock of shit the breach notice is.
Yeah.
They've breach notice Foran, but they haven't breach notice Rad Radra.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
What an absolute that shows you how big
I've got the feeling they may have been trying to start the divorce process by sinking that in and maybe going, well, if you leave right now, this was a mistake.
Yeah, let's throw Foran under the bus.
I'm with you.
Wow. And strip him of the captaincy.
They're not that smart.
They could have done all that internally.
Yeah, it was just dumb even afterwards.
Just dumb.
They had all the
right?
players in front of the camera and they all said the same thing. Well, he's injured.
Well, he's on Fiji time.
No, but he's injured.
Oh, that's real
no,
smart.
Not that. The foreign thing. They go, he's injured for the year, so he can't be
playing.
He can't be captain, can he? And I was like, well.
What a crock.
You still didn't really need to.
Didn't have to say it. Could have said nothing. Had said absolutely nothing. Behind closed doors, Bo Scott, you're our on field captain for the rest of the
year. They're not that smart. They're not that smart. Well, it's just, yeah.
I struggle to see how someone could be that stupid without actually trying to be that stupid.
They are. They really are. Mm. Arthur Mazumian, sorry if I've mispronounced...
Well, you didn't apologise to Schermerhorn.
Well, that's a massive name, and I think it's supposed to be like a team or something else. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a fair bit going on there, but Arthur, he's got the Panthers seem to constantly be in a real building phase. Will they ever be a consistent finals team? We've won one finals game in the last 11 seasons.
Yeah, but for eight of those years, they were
horrible.
A basket case.
Scraps.
They're going all right.
No juniors.
20s are up the top. Cup's going okay. They're just trying to usher in these juniors. It's going to take time.
Well, I think the big thing...
I think to put a number on it, and Gus did put a number on it, I think that's the only reason that people are getting a little bit impatient in the fact that this is this a fifth year?
Well, I think people are missing the point. They bought veteran halves to try and steer a younger group that overachieved a little bit early in the first crop. And now they're at the point where those guys aren't going to be there for long enough. And Seguiaro basically blew up his own career on his own. So the spine's the big thing that got torn apart.
Mm.
Cleary's definitely one of the answers. They've got to find out whether it's Martin or Tyrone May who play... Oh, I like Tyrone May to play six, but that spine has to be fixed now.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to be the nine going forward? Does Wallace get it for another year or two? Does Katoa come in? Does Cherrington come, what they've talked about? Once that gets stabilised, Merrin, these forwards, Fisher-Harris, all these guys, I think that's all good. I think the back line's all good. The spine needs to be sorted out.
Yeah, they've got plenty of options.
And then defensive toughness is the big thing for me. They love throwing the football around, but some of the lapses in effort, especially on the weekend and during the year.
What Hardacre showed in that game on the weekend, I'd almost throw him to one, throw Moyle into six, play Cleary at seven, and go from there.
Well, Cartwright definitely needs to wake up a little bit. He was terrible on the weekend. Well, that's just my opinion, but yeah.
Well, he's not a six.
No, he's not a six. He wasn't the juniors, but not in the NRL standard. No way. Brad O'Kane, Roosters haven't had much luck with injury and suspension this year, but barring sides that have been stripped points, are they the strongest squad of players you have seen to miss the top eight?
No.
if you put everyone on the field.
Parramatta for a few years there were premiership favourites and didn't make the eight.
When?
Probably going back to 07, 08, somewhere around there.
I think this is a pretty, it is a pretty strong side to miss the eight. If you put Cordner in,
there's a year there when Parramatta, it might have even been even 2010, Parramatta, they fought it out for the spoon. They were premiership favourites that year. They played in the grand final in 09. Yeah. 2010, they signed like Justin Poor and all these guys and they were premiership favourites and they didn't make the eight. So, look,
I honestly think this side's stronger, but again, starting the year without Pierce and then basically all the other three members of your spine, they're a pretty strong side to miss the eight. And there's a couple other guys here chipping in their opinions. And Jennings moved on. There was a few late changes, but it's a pretty strong side to miss the eight. Daniel Ryan, question. What's your vision for the future of the NRL? I see less teams rather than expansion as there are too many poor teams, especially his Dragons included, he says, and poor games. And his low was the Dragons.
So what's the question?
What's your vision for the future? Do you think there'll be expansion? Do you think there'll be less teams? Do you think
it'll expand? Definitely. Because there's going to be more players coming through. Our population's growing, more players, more juniors, more money. Hopefully economic growth.
Well, under what Daniel's written for anyone that is interested, if you look at the Fast Five questions, Cameron Patmore, he's got his own radical and major overhaul. It's a two-tier system, 12 clubs in first division relegation.
I don't mind the two-tier for the fact that everyone can play everyone in each tier and you can shorten the season. I like that part of it.
Yeah.
But at the moment, we're handcuffed to the TV deal, which says that we need 24 games each team. So while ever that happens, it's impossible.
And Cameron, we haven't ignored your champion. I saw that you posted your system in there, the pros and cons and whatnot, but just been a little bit busy. So I'll have a read of that during the week and get back to you at some point. But I don't mind the idea, that's for sure.
You did ignore him.
Nah, there's two of us, mate. This is a team effort here, alright? Yeah. We're a team.
I can't read.
You're a liar. You're a teacher. What future do those children have, sod?
I'm a PE teacher, mate.
No, that's a lie. Daniel Friend, has giving Gal a send-off stopped Cartwright from debuting? Gal out, bench prop to start, Carter to the bench.
No, you could punt Clemmie, you could punt Woods, you could punt a whole heap of them that I... Jennings, Ferguson, mix up the side and get him in there, because if you don't have Bird on the bench, you move him in, you could play Cartwright ahead of Peets. But look, I don't think Cartwright really nailed his spot on the weekend.
I think if he was in there or had his foot in the door, he fumbled on the weekend. He was awful, and I've come up with a nickname. I said to you blokes the other way, to me now he's the poker machine. High risk, low reward most of the time. For the amount of offloads and brilliant little things you isolate. The week before he set three up, he let two in. And on the weekend he let a couple in, and it wasn't even fatigue. He plays 80 minutes, 20 minutes in, he's made a lazy mental effort. He didn't want to make the tackle. And you can't do that in Origin, so I really want him to step his game up, but he's hurt himself the last few times he's had the opportunity. Tom Lacey, I'm not a league player, so not sure how it is done. Following on from the Raiders versus Knights, where one team let a lead slip and another came back swinging. How do coaches coach mental toughness? All the commentators talk about it, but what techniques do coaches use to get their players in the right headspace?
You can't coach it.
Everyone's built differently.
Theoretically, you can't coach it.
Everyone's put together differently. Some people respond to criticism. Some people don't. Some people need a pat on the back. You have to manage the group.
Well, mental toughness is built at training in tough situations.
But the way you manage actual people or coach people, yourself, everyone's unique in different circumstances, whether the way they're just are they out as a personality.
It takes into 100 different factors on how you deal
personality,
with
character, upbringing. There's a lot of things.
But also
that
the
fact that
if you're talking about the sides, let a lead slip, is it the first time they've done it? Is it multiple weeks in a row?
Well, there are
reason for it? There's
Nathan Brown.
If you're talking about the Raiders Knights game,
Nathan Brown,
you can excuse them for shitting the bed
Newcastle.
Because they haven't won a game in 9 weeks.
For them to even compete is
an achievement.
Let's put it this way. He knows they're a New South Wales Cup team. Their average age is like 22.
Yeah.
There's 10 players with less than 10 games. They've debuted a squillion guys, and their older guys aren't playing that
well. And if you're talking to me about coaching approach, like if I'm Ricky Stewart, I'm tearing shreds off Canberra.
Oh, 100%.
I know I'm happy with
they
the game, but... to me, it looks like Ricky Stewart's a very result-based coach. I'd be interested, to speak to the Canberra players or someone internal at Canberra to see whether he did rip him a new one after the game. But he seemed like it was all forgotten in the fact that they won. And to me, it's going to come and bite Canberra on the arse later on in the year if they keep ignoring these bad habits they've got.
Yeah, well, they've certainly got some bad habits. But for the time being, that looks like all your questions. So any more that get posted up, in between now and the end of the show. We'll do them at the end. But reviews of the games from the weekend. The Roosters and the Dogs starting things off 24-20. The Roosters got out to a lead early on. And like we said, this is one of the games where a fight back or, you know, an early lead got let go. 12-all, and in the second half, you kind of felt that they were still in the hunt. Mitchell Pearce
should have been a bigger lead.
Yeah, well, it definitely should have been a bigger lead. Like the two, you can tell how bad Tupou's been. Like that drop ball, Cole going over line, just little things like that. The forward pass by Kennedy out at the end when they had some sort of a sniff. But the Dogs, they found a way to win. You can't knock that. It was a gritty effort. Morris, 5 tries now, 2 weeks in return. Rona looks good in the centres. Forward pack did their job.
Yeah, they were composed, the Bulldogs. But for me, I'm still not convinced. I think it was more the Roosters shut the bed in this one than the Dogs winning it, but I mean, the Dogs had to come and win it. So I was impressed with the fact that they came back.
They got the job done.
But there's still some glaring holes for me in the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I thought Clemmer was pretty good as well, and Mitchell Pearce was definitely very, very good on return. But Roosters, just run the easy. Like we said, they had all the luck. 3 minor premierships, bugger all injuries, no changes. This year they've had injuries, squad changes, had to blood some kids. It hasn't been a great year, but you can't have it your way.
Winning habits, building at Canterbury, but, which is good.
No doubt about that. And they're kind of finding a bit of a style now and getting a bit looser, which I'm happy about. They're actually half decent to watch at the moment. So the Roosters next week, they play the Eels, Origin affected, obviously. And the Dogs, Origin affected, play the Tigers. So a couple out there, but I think Tedesco being out for the Tigers is massive. So I think the Doggies might bank another win there. Storm 48-6 over the Broncos. Absolute dominance. They absorbed for the first 10 to 15 minutes and then they just destroyed them.
Yeah, they did.
The forward pack did the job again. Yeah, there were some injuries. I know when Corey Oates went off, they started kicking a Vunny, which is just basic tactics. But why do you put Nikarima on that wing? That's just dumb. You should have pushed the centre out there or somebody else to mark up on him.
Boyd out there at one stage.
Well, they had Milford.
I don't really think... No, Milford was out there bludging on that kick. To me, Brisbane look out of gas. They look like they need a week off. Melbourne, they're playing great footy. I'm waiting for Melbourne's dip. Hopefully it'll come after Origin. But, you know, Cronk and Smith were saying after the game that Bellamy gave him pretty much the whole week off.
They've had the whole week off before the last two. And he said that they're basically going to get a rest coming up. And all those guys that have been injured now will get a bit of a rest.
So there's going to be a dip.
We will dip, but we've won enough games. We've done the hard work. So top four.
It'll just be Bellamy would be concerned finishing top two.
They have to.
And Cronulla have to finish up there. And at the moment, that looks a good thing.
I think we're more likely than Cronulla, though, to be honest, to go away.
Well, I think you're both.
We can win at some court and we can win it.
You don't even want to test that.
I don't want to fiddle with the Cowboys, though. I think they've got enough petrol and depth.
You don't want to go to either of them.
I don't think Brisbane's got the depth the Cowboys do, though. So they're the one I don't want to get near.
You want to be at home.
Yeah.
Regardless of who you're playing. You certainly don't want to play Canberra in Canberra if you land in the top four.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, you want to play them at home. So it's a no-brainer to me. Melbourne and Cronulla are two of the hardest places to go and win. You want a home semi.
Well, the big thing about this, and we were saying on the night we're watching it, they had as much ball and we were inside our half a lot more. We just did more with the football. Melbourne did a heap more with the football.
Yeah.
More line breaks, generated more offloads. Cooper Cronk was absolutely outstanding. When he got his hat trick.
Brisbane are just bad at football at the moment.
Bromwich.
They're very bad at football.
The other thing was try saves. Melbourne saved 4 tries and absorbed a lot. There was a poor read on the Roberts team, but 48 points and defending very well. Great game by them. Gillette went off. Oates went off. And Nikarima. Did you see the last play of the game, the video? He popped dislocation and went back in. I didn't even realise that, Lord.
I noticed that. I didn't think
the trainer just went. It did. I watched the short video.
I thought he might have.
I'll show it to you later on here. Literally, the trainer goes, "Yank!" You see it go. So,
excellent.
80th minute. That's a nice way to finish the night. Bad times for the Broncos, but they've got the bye, and Melbourne most definitely needed as well. They've got a couple of injuries over the last few weeks, so they get the week off. Good times for them. New Zealand 27-18 over the Titans. I thought the Titans were tough again.
Yeah, they were good.
Losing Taylor late, Zillman not playing, putting a young bloke in on debut, playing a position he doesn't play. Tough circumstances, and Simpkins was out for most of the game as well with a head knock, so he had 15 players. But the Warriors, it was nice and tight there. But Johnson, just that one moment of brilliance, kind of blew things open. Then Bodine got a nice line at the end. bit of a poor read to the middle, and that shut things down. But I'm still kind of been impressed. I know it is during the Origin period, but I think they've slowly found their feet a little bit, the Warriors. Johnson's been playing with that bad quad. Luke's found a bit of confidence. I think a couple of guys that were playing bad at the start of the year have kind of turned their attitude, so I hope they carry it on. But it's after this Origin period we're really going to be able to tell.
Yeah, speak to me in a month.
Mm. Simon Mannering, though.
It's again, it's a game they needed to win, they did.
I'm going to say it again. He deserves full plaudits for his career so far up until this point. Mm. He's another one of these guys like Corey Parker that couldn't carry himself in any better fashion. He's done absolutely everything for New Zealand, and in particular the Warriors,
yeah.
Every time he puts a jersey on. So he didn't want to be captain this year. He handed that off to Hoffman. He didn't want big plaudits on the weekend. Hoffman got a virus. They made him captain. He didn't want to bar it, but he just went out there and did his job as he always does. So. Yeah. Congratulations, Simon Mannering, and hopefully he makes the 300 club. But Pete's was good as well, I thought, and Cullen.
Yeah.
Pretty good when he got a run. Fussy Tua is the one who's really impressed me doing this little run. And Marmolo definitely showing that he deserves to play first grade. So Warriors, they have the bye as well. Titans, they definitely need a week off to lick their wounds. A couple of injuries there, hard times for them. Tigers, Panthers, 34-26. Penrith, what's doing? Just complete shutdown and terrible edge defense and attitude. After leading 14-12, they conceded 32 points straight.
Yeah, they bombed 1,000 tries, Penrith. This, to me, was a bit of a middle of the eight sort of game. Middle of the pack, not middle of the eight. One of these teams might make the eight.
I expect they were just so unconvincing. I really do.
Yeah, well, me too. And then they step up. They'll play a good side and step up against a good side, but struggle with these middle of the pack teams, I guess. So. It's a game they might come to rue to regret at the end of the year, that's for sure. And even towards the end there, I thought, even with 20 to go, I thought, oh, they might come back and win here. And they bombed a couple of chances, and the Tigers went down and scored one and put them out of it. But what did they get beat by in the end? Four, wasn't it? Four points, eight.
And they got garbage tries at the end, which I don't
know. Those tries were there to be taken 20 minutes before that, and that's my point. I think it was lost. This game was lost, obviously, as you said, in the fact that they led 14-2. And then
32 points.
Yeah, and then they conceded 32 points. But once they did that, they did settle. But they just the last pass on four or five occasions just didn't stick.
There's a lot of passes that didn't need to get thrown. Like Cartwright had the ball loose on that right edge of that one that he threw forward.
I'm talking about in good ball on the Tigers line.
Go back and watch the game,
and there was at least five to six tries bombed.
There was general play passes and offloads that just didn't need to happen. And he's basically, to me, he's in Mateo mode right now.
I was watching it with a good mate of ours, and I was saying to him, you know, it was with about half an hour to go. I said, you know, the Tigers are going to have a shit period of 10 minutes where they're going to play dumb Tigers football, and they did, but Penrith just couldn't capitalise on it. That was the difference in the game. The Tigers, every time they got a chance, they, you know, took advantage of it, where Penrith didn't. And I think, theoretically, you know, I don't know whether Penrith are that much better than the Tigers at the moment.
Yeah, well, I would think it's just sad that the 18-year-old...
Who's Penrith's clear superstar?
Clear superstar? They've got plenty of young talent. I think Merritt...
Who's their clear standout leader of the pack every week superstar?
You're talking about game forwards breaker. Or just people
just
in
a game breaker.
They don't really have one.
No. Tigers have Tedesco.
People seem to put Moylan up on that pedestal.
No, he's not.
I think that's an absolute joke.
He ran sideways in this game.
The fact that he gets compared to Darren Lockyer, to me, and we probably don't talk about a whole lot, is an insult. Mm. He's not even close to Darren Lockyer, and if you're willing to mention him that same breath, you should smash your head on the table.
Yeah, not at the moment. And as I said,
I don't think he'll even get close.
You won't ever be able to compare those careers. To me, it's stupid to even compare.
You're talking about a dude who was a late bloomer who got an opportunity after changing positions compared to a guy who was playing internationals when he was 20-21 and transitioned late in his career and was dominant the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Lockyer's similar to Parker in the fact that he got better as his career went on. I think Lockyer went out playing his best footy.
Yeah, 100%. I thought Merrin was good. Mansour can definitely hold his head high.
Yeah.
He had a massive game. On the other side, Tedesco's standout. Suaso, Sue, very underrated for them. Arva off the bench, and they're outside backs. So they got a little help out of Knopf, Simona, etc. So good win for the Tigers. They play the Dogs this week, Origin affected, and Panthers play Cronulla. They only have, obviously, Mansour now, so that worked out pretty well, and Cronulla lost an extra player with Wade Graham in. So good opportunity to break that streak for poor old Cronulla. Not ending on their own terms, but who knows, they might be able to grind something out. Speaking of Cronulla, 12 wins in a row, 34-24 over Parramatta, 18 zipped down. I wasn't too worried, to be honest, because I thought they were pushing. They were playing quite well. They were just forcing the pass a little bit like I thought Penrith were, and things weren't sticking. They were rolling quite well, but an intercept, a soft crash over from a poor read, errors, and they were just a little bit shell-shocked. But late on, they were composed. They found points quite easy, and it was the same deal again, 28 unanswered points to find their way back to the front. late on.
I've got to be honest, I thought Cronulla got the rub of the green in this game big time from the refs. Parramatta, I thought, got a few stiff ones, but again, the second half, they're their own worst enemy, Parramatta. They, you know, their defence, their contact, and the way that they controlled Cronulla was poor. They just couldn't make yards. And what's killing Parramatta at the moment is the fact they've only got one kicker. Corey Norman's under immense pressure.
Yeah, well, you can put all your eggs in one basket and just go after it.
And also, if you watch Parramatta really closely, the amount of times that Corey Norman gets tackled on play four is ridiculous. Someone needs to put a stop to that straight away, because as soon as that happens, you've got Kenny Edwards kicking the ball.
And that is the problem.
They couldn't get over there. Because
he's really their only focal point in attack as well.
They couldn't pin Cronulla and place any field position pressure on
them. You've hit the nail on the head. They don't have any creativity at a nine with DeGoyce. He's straight up and down. Edwards is solid, but he's not a ball player, and they don't have a ball playing fullback in Gordon. So everything is literally just look where Norman is.
Yeah.
You can put extra numbers on him. You can pressure the kicks. Yeah. It's all on him right now. I thought despite that, he still didn't play too bad. Set up a couple of tries.
Norman was outstanding.
But he is literally carrying all creative pressure right now on himself. So
I thought Isaac DeGoyce, I loved his game.
He's angry. I always loved DeGoyce.
And you know what? Jason Bakuga is a very underrated player.
100%. So is Tagger. Tagger's been great the last couple of years.
Very good.
How many times have we said on the show the last couple of years?
Yardage stood out more for me.
Yardage wingers.
Was he playing opposite Radradra? I don't think he was.
Oh, I don't know what, but I would say it all the time. The most important asset in the NRL to be a winger, they're talking about the finishing, is yardage work.
To me, the two wingers were French and Fecky.
But he's just an animal in yardage. Yeah. He doesn't care. He will carry the football. He's error-free times out of ten. He does his job, but number one, yardage work. Yeah. That's why when people like this Joe Burgess come out, people are talking about, he didn't do yardage work in the Super League. How's he going to do it? I don't care how fast you can run the 100 in. You're not getting that kind of open space over here.
No.
Everything starts coming out of your own 20, and Fecky is massively underrated.
Tell you one thing we forgot to mention out of the Penrith game. I thought Hardacre went really good for his first game.
Oh, it was kind of up and down. I didn't think he was too bad. I thought he got introduced too late, to be honest. Thought he should have been on.
Me too, but I thought he went really good.
That was one big read out of that. Bevan French, the hat-trick, good on him.
Yeah.
Made his impact. Felt after being injured since the nines, like you said, about Radrara. Very disappointing the way he's carrying himself in this situation. Just get rid of him, honestly. Offload him, but good on you, Cronulla. They played Penrith this week, Origin affected, Eels and Roosters.
See, to me, it's bullshit that Cronulla's record
it's gonna
of
go.
12 in a row is going to come up against Penrith when they lose all their superstars. It's rubbish.
It hurts. It's not really fair, but that's the way it unfortunately is.
And it's a free roll for Penrith.
It is a free roll for Penrith. Let's try and get it. Eels play the Roosters. Jennings, the only one missing for them there. The Roosters, Guerra, Ferguson. Getting Pierce back definitely helps, so... Couple missing for them, but see how they go. Canberra 29-25 over Newcastle. Newcastle definitely turned up to play. 22-0. They were ripping in fairly early on. Had some penalties and a couple of bounces of the ball. Everything was kind of going their way. They were feeling the momentum, but
I think it was more the Cowboys were.
The Canberra were bad. You had that same feeling though that basically I had at halftime when Austin scored. You're like, this has been coming and it's just going to flip. They're going to flash them somehow. When they got that late...
Try hard not to.
No, 100%. When they got the late field goal, though, even to square things up, take it to Golden Point, I was just...
I thought the whole time
the knife was going to get stuck in at some point.
I thought Newcastle deserved to win.
I did too, but even the way it finished, I just felt the knife was coming the whole time. The bounce of the ball.
Same, yeah.
Rapana scoring, like, the field goal hurts.
What about the poor bloke had 100K on Canberra at $1.06, and then he cashed out to get 60 grand with about 20 to go?
Silly.
Poor bastard. He lost 40.
That's what you deserve. You should have backed him in against a side like that. The poor
$1.06, so he's put 100 grand on to win six.
Stupid.
Ridiculous behavior.
That's what you get for just betting on stupid things like that. If you wanted to have bank interest, you should have backed the Storm at $2.30. You would have made a squill.
Mm.
Get that on your calculator and figure that one out. It's
230K.
How much did you say you put on?
100 on.
Good times.
230K.
Good times. That was a great bet this week, just quietly.
Mm.
Ross... good again. Matty Utea, I thought, even though he had to move in, played pretty well. He's been good this year in general, but same old story, the poor bastards, they can't catch a break. It's that tough period and they're just going to have to keep digging in and dealing with it.
Yeah, they're going to win a game before the end of the year. The people saying they won't, I think, are on drugs.
Nah, there's going to be one coming like that. One of those they will eke out, but the talk during the week, they've got three main targets. They want Greg Bird to come down as a veteran.
I'd be happy to see him go.
They were scoping Luke Lewis, but I think he wants 2 years if he's going to go there, not one, and maybe money's a problem, and they're putting a lot of eggs in their basket to try and get Valentine Holmes, which I don't think he'd want to go there.
No, I also don't
think... to get him to play fullback, and that's basically what they're dangling in front, they're going to have to pay overs.
Mm.
So, and the talk is that the Dragons are interested in Hodkinson, and Nathan Brown obviously didn't pick him. He was signed by the Knights before he got there. I'd be happy to offload Hodkinson if I was Nathan Brown.
Yeah, me too.
For the contract he got, 600K.
So bringing the kids in.
It's another year of suffering, but I'll tell you what, you want to free up all that cash. That's a good way to be going about it. You could have a massive empty strike, get five or six players in next year. You're really keen on. Could they go
after someone like Blake Green?
You could, if you really wanted to. But I mean, next year, if you had all that finally freed up.
Yeah, but I think you get Green Snowden. For half of what you're paying Hodkinson.
Well, Manly's right? Apparently offered 350, and that's where he's going. So.
Well, that's what I'm saying. How much is Hodkinson getting there?
Six.
Okay. Well, there you go. You give him four. I give him four.
I'd want Mullen gone as well. I'd really put the pen through all.
How many times has Mullen played in the last couple of years?
God,
he's
no.
Never on the field.
And he's never deserved the money he's got anyway.
No, I tend to agree.
You're going to get rid of McManus, Snowden, Uwate's looking on the outer. If they get rid of all these guys, they've got six guys tied up more than half their salary cap. You know what they need to do? They need to kind of do what Canberra did, but it fell over. They had the young core they were building. Next year, if there was five or six guys he was interested in, you freed that money up, you kind of get them all in at the same time. Some guys are represented by the same person, and you pitch it to a few of them together. This is what we want to build around, and they might have to pay a little bit more, but you need to free that money up first.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is not a short-term process, but he's done a pretty good job in a short amount of time, I think, flipping and getting rid of some blokes he doesn't want there.
Oh, I think he has. So
if Hodkinson is one of those, he might be gone skis, but Poirot, Newcastle, we said it the other week, they get the bye this week, get to go have a beer, enjoy each other's company after it's been a tough year.
Mm.
Poor bastards, but I'm with you. They will win again. Canberra, they get the Cowboys. Lucky for them. No Morgan because he's injured, and six players still missing because Gavin Cooper's been included this time.
Yeah.
So they missed Papali for Origin, who's now injured and not even playing, which is why Cooper's out on the flip side. So this is a lobby for Canberra. These are usually ones they stuff up. Let's see what they do. They should knock this out of the park, but they played Newcastle and Golden Point twice this year. Let's remember that.
If they lose that game, they would have got one from 4 points against Newcastle.
Oh, ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Cowboys, speaking of them, 20-0 over South. I don't want to go too much in this one. I didn't think it was a great game. It was bad from the kickoff when they dropped that ball. They got dominated. I think the score should have been more.
I backed the Cowboys to win by 30-plus at $8, and I was pretty angry that they didn't get there.
They had a few things that didn't stick or get there, but they were in control the whole time.
They had the field position the whole game.
You know, the biggest thing I took out of this, I had the volume up because some of the physical contact I heard and the hurt that the Cowboys put on them was immense. Taumalolo, Tarmow, Scott, particularly those three, brilliant. Ethan Lowe, great. JT's little dummy at the start, was nice to see him crash over.
I thought JT was standout in this game. He was brilliant. Unbelievable.
The word dominant, like I said, the score made it reflective. You watched that game, you never felt that South had a chance.
No.
The Cowboys just put the thumb on their forehead immediately and just bullied them for 80 minutes. Mm-hmm. Scoreline, I'm with you. I feel bad for you, to be honest, because that, to me, we had the feeling of a 40-point game or 50 points.
Yeah.
If a few passes stuck and things completely unleashed, but... Cowboys looking good, affected, play Canberra, that's probably going to be a loss, but again, they've done the work early on to put themselves in a good position, so good on them. Souths have the bye and they definitely need it. And the last game of the round doesn't need a whole lot of mention. 36-6 Manly over the Dragons, one way traffic, 15 offloads in the first half, second and third efforts defensively they were carved up, and with the ball, not only are they awful in attack with what they do as a team or how their plan of their half working against each other in the 1-8 carriage, but they couldn't hold the bloody football anyway.
Yeah, so, they were terrible. I said it in my Fast Five. They couldn't get out of their own way. They couldn't get out of their own end.
Well, the small little shifts and a bit more stability. Having Walker out the centres, I thought he was pretty good. Lyon always should have been in the halves at the start of the year, saying he slowed down a bit with DC, who was solid again. And the Trbojevic's were outstanding as a pair. Stewart definitely looks to be on the outer, whether he's injured or he is making that move. Tom and Jake were outstanding. Jamie Bure, finally good to see him healthy. Good football player.
Yeah,
really underrated. I've always liked Bure, but the last few years you've never seen him. Had ACL, shoulder injury, fractured eye socket, and just shows you again, he's not the biggest bloke in the world, but when he's on the field and he's healthy, can play some football. And the Dragons, the only upside I could really give is Josh Dugan's individual effort. He did carry on, like we said. He always seems to. I think that's something he definitely needs to get rid of.
Yeah,
because it's very poor to watch him carry on like that because he is such a good player. But the Dragons as a whole, they were awful.
Manly were good. They were physical. I think they flowed on from their performance last week. And, you know, if they keep that up, they're going to win a lot more games than they lose. But I think the season's probably passing by. They're going to have to almost not lose a game until the end of the year. So, tough times ahead for Manly. But, I see them improving. Dragons, yeah. So I don't know where they go from that.
Well, I don't want them in the final, so I hope they fall apart. But Manly left their run too late. They've had too many injuries. It's been a hard year, but I think they can get a couple of wins and finish the year off with a positive note. They've got the bye. Dragons have got the bye. For now, that's our Fast Five fan questions, reviews of the games. We'll do any more questions that come up at the end. We'll be joined by Mr. Gossip next and give you all the odds, brought to you by WilliamHill.com. But Kaisenbrock, you had a session last night?
Yeah, I've only got 2 weeks to go. We've got 3 weeks to go, but two more on field. We're doing a double next week because of school holidays, obviously.
Yep.
And then we've got a bit of a welfare night at the end. Yep. So that'll be good.
So one of our partners...
They're looking at releasing some summer programs and some more different types of stuff in the next couple of months, so keep your eyes peeled.
And Rugby League Coaching Manual, another one of the partners this show.
Yeah, nothing at the moment, but I gather that I'll be flicking an article through either for probably the August edition, I'd imagine.
Yep, well, like you said, thank you Kaizen Sports and thank you Rugby League Coaching Manual, good partners of the show. Kaizen Sports is devoted towards bridging the gap between amateur and elite sport. We are on a mission to provide all athletes the opportunity to experience high-performance training, resources and support that only elite athletes receive. Our business services include performance academies, functional movement screenings, team building and leadership workshops and pre-season camps. The Kaizen Rugby League Summer Academy is coming soon, so check them out on Facebook at Kaizen Sports Performance to keep up to date with all activity. K-A-I-Z-E-N, kaizensports.com.au. Or on Facebook, like I said, at the top there. K-A-I-Z-E-N, Kaizen Sports and Rugby League Coaching Manual. As a rugby league coach, you have many different jobs. Some include being a mentor, a teacher, a leader, a counsellor, and a drill sergeant. One of the most important roles as a coach is getting the best out of your players. If you're there to get the best out of your players, who is there to get the best out of you as a coach? Well, let me tell you, it's Rugby League Coaching Manual. They've been providing educational material through their flagship publication, Coach Talk, DVDs and drill books since 1993. All this material is now available online through your very own RLCM membership, which gives you access to hundreds of articles and videos on coaching rugby league. In addition to this, you'll also receive access to online courses, an invitation to the monthly coaching webinar, plus a new edition of Coach Talk every month. To start your 30-day free trial, just visit rlcm.com.au and join as a foundation member today. Thank you, Rugby League Coaching Manual, and thank you, Kaizen. We'll be joined next by Mr. Gossip to get anything that he's got dirt-wise, give you tips, preview the next round, and all the odds brought to you by WilliamHill.com. If you're going to have a bet on the NRL or any sport, make sure you do it with William Hill. Now, it's time for your weekly dose of goss from Mr. Gossip. And we're back to the solo act, just like last year. It's just me and you, Gossip. What's doing, brother?
Beautiful, mate. I'm very excited. Origin's nearly finished. We can get back to regular club games, but we've got this debacle of a round coming up.
The fucking short round. I tell you what, I'm very happy I'm going to Europe, but disappointed that I had to sit through this little stint as my last taste before I head off, but... Origin 3, very happy. Obviously that Graham and Tedesco were picked. A little bit disappointed that Farah wasn't marched for probably Pete's, even though people talk similar to Gallen that who's there to replace him. I think we just needed if anyone was going to get a farewell and I'd cop it on the chin, it would be Gallen. But the other two I can't cop. So Bird being out, I agree with, but I thought Farah should have been gone as well.
Yeah, look, I'm trying really hard to have some sort of interest in it. I guess Queensland listeners will say I've got sour grapes, but I got to say, I really couldn't give a rat's ass, to be honest.
Yeah.
What happens? But does Gallen deserve a send off? Well, I don't really know because he's won one series. Does that deserve a serve off? That doesn't really make sense to me. But I might be a hard taskmaster, but I don't think he necessarily deserves one just because he's been loyal.
No.
Well, he hasn't been loyal. He's been picked, hasn't he?
So, yeah, well, I'm with you, but he's kind of the only one of those three they talked about that I could cop because he's been a captain. He has played very well for us, but Bird and Farah I couldn't cop, so I'm a bit disappointed.
If Gallen and Farah and all them have been selected just because of they want a send-off, who cares? If New South Wales win, it doesn't mean anything at all.
We're awful.
Yeah, cares. The record books aren't going to show anything that they went in on a high. They went out as losers, so they may as well just dump them and put new blood in. I don't see it. I don't agree with Laurie Daly at all. A lot of his selections this year were terrible, and if we're going to stick with Lozier again next year, it's just suicide.
Yeah, well, I'm Tedesco, Graham, again, late, but better late than never. Tedesco, obviously, the injured would have been there at the start, but even Ferguson and Jennings, I thought Leilua and Jack Berg could have got shuffled into the centres this time around, Leilua on a wing or vice versa. Just, there's a few more changes I thought could have been made, but he didn't want to lay the boot in. I'm kind of with you. I hope we lose, really. I wanted us to get swept this year, so they did get rid of Daly, but see what happens in game three. But moving away from the negatives, mate, what have you got in the gossip bag? Not much cooking this week?
Yeah, we've got a few little things here that we'll touch on. We'll start with Thomas Lulaway. Now, he's off to Wigan. I wanted to get your opinion. Do you think he has anything left to offer in the NRL, or is it a good move for him?
I think he's a safe option, but I really was disappointed at the start of this year that Tui Malolo-Lahir wasn't playing in the halves, and they've got another very good young half who's eligible for the 20s and played in cup the last 2 years, Arta Hingano. So it makes perfect sense to me. He's a safe player, but they've got too much there for their future. So I think it's a good move, and he was at Wigan previously for a long stint. So it's about the right time, I think.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. All right, mate, I've got one here that'll give Brock an absolute diffy. The Titans, they're chasing Guerra super hardcore. It looks like they're going to punt Douglas and Zillman. So hopefully some good news for the Titans. I think Guerra will be a great signing for him.
Well, he looks like he needs a bit of a refresh. This has been a hard year. On the flip side, again, he is a Queenslander, so I'm guessing that most of them would like going home and being closer to family. It's the kind of player they need to start bringing in. He's an Origin player. He's an international. Yes, he's had a rough year, but I'd definitely be happy if I was a Titans fan and Aiden Guerra was coming to play for my side. So I'm sure he would be happy about that.
Oh, absolutely. All right, mate, off to the Dragons. And geez, weren't they woeful on Monday night?
Oh.
what a stink fest. Their hooker, I love the Dragons fans on Twitter. Absolutely give it to him. They're calling him Mith Rain instead of Mitch Rain. He's obviously not re-signed for next year. He was waiting for a deal to be tailed by the Dragons. That hasn't come. His manager's tried to shop him around to other NRL clubs. No interest whatsoever. The Knights were keen for a short period, but they will not offer Mitch the money that he's commanding or asking for. So, look, for poor Mitch, I think the only answer is UK Super League, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, unless he comes to the table as far as money's concerned, but we spoke about this before with certain players. If it's money that you're after, you may have to make an early exit because a lot of NRL clubs are cotton on you in certain positions, and he hasn't had the greatest of years. I thought he had a good year a couple of years ago, but the money I'm hearing, basically what you're saying, I wouldn't be willing to pay either. So it's up to him, really. If he wants to stay, he's going to have to drop his asking price.
Yeah, it's not like the NRL is short on hookers either, so it's not like he's a six or a seven, so you can't command big dollars if you're playing like a bastard, and yeah, he's got no vision. He's Ray Charles as hooker. He's terrible.
he's playing with the blinkers on, he says.
He certainly is, mate. All right, mate, last one for the night, and we could be in for a swap here between Benji and Hodgkinson with the Knights and the Dragons.
Wow.
I don't know who gets the raw end of the stick, really. It's apples for apples, really. But
I think that's a double-ended pineapple, if you're asking me.
Yeah, absolutely. I would probably rather Hodgkinson. Maybe he's probably because he's a little bit younger, but it's a very strange one. If the swap's on, I know the Dragons are more keen at the two anyway.
Yeah, I think Benji would be a temporary solution, but if you wanted a veteran to come in and help your young halves out, and Brock Lamb and Jack Cogger, he's probably the worst person I could think of right now.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to bring in an old head, an old half, you want a structured half, I would have thought, not someone who's an ablib half who tries, you know, chip and chases in his own 40-metre line. So
yeah,
I don't think it's the right move for Newcastle. But Hodgkinson, look, he's shown glimpses this year. He's got a young team around him. So it's not that I don't rate him. He's had some bad luck with injury as well, but who knows, he could go to the Dragons and change things around. But
I'd put it this way, that'd be a better situation for him for the way he plays. He's very Barry Basics, he makes his tackles, he's got a solid kicking game. If anyone would appreciate having him next to him, it would be Gareth Widdop. Gareth Widdop could really use a stable halves partner. The money's the issue with me. He went to Newcastle on about 600, and I'm just not willing to pay that kind of money. The Dragons might be. They probably would be if they had to pick up the contract. But on the Newcastle side, if it was 1 year and low money or whatever to have Benji there, sure. But I couldn't think of anyone worse to tutor Brock Lamb and Jack Cogger, because they're both guys who generally have come through the grades, you know, like to control the game, have their hands on the football, be a bit calm and collected about things. Benji, like you said, 13 years, 12 years, whatever it's been. Look, the other night he made an under-20s play. He put a chip kick in on the third tackle coming out of his own half. Like, it's a strange one for me.
Yeah, we said off-air that the Dragons really need a refresh for next year. Hoskinson, he could be that man, but like you said, I wouldn't pay overs for him. But if there's any team that he probably would fit into a structure, probably would be the Dragons. So it could be a handy pickup at the right price.
Yeah, and like I said, I think the big one that clicked straight away when you said it is Hodkinson. He'd love to have someone next to him who he knows is not going to have a brain fart every 2 seconds and just do the complete opposite of what he's looking for. So
absolutely.
Might be a bit of the move for them. But if that's all the gossip, champ, looking at the tips, me and you had a pretty good week. We both went one off the perfect round. The Penny Panthers knifed me. And then last night, it all come down to you for the Dragons, and I had Manly. So we got 7 apiece. Boxhead got 5, so we got a bit of a run back this week. You got the Broncos game wrong, the Panthers game, and the Dragons. So you're now on 89, I'm on 88, he's on 91. So
oh, beautiful.
We've got to couple back. It's been a pretty good week, but shortened round and all the odds, while we give you our tips, brought to you by WilliamHill.com. Make sure if you have a bet on the NRL or any sport, it is with William Hill. The first game we've got, Friday night, Eels versus the Roosters. Couple of players back here. They get back Timmy Manor, Jeff Robson making a return to finish his career off. Desperately need someone to help out Corey Norman and Takarengi. Jennings is out for Origin. On the Roosters side, Guerra and Ferguson out. Chris Smith, Manu and Madison back in. This one's hard for me to pick. Looking at the Roosters forward pack, it's the bench that more bothers me. And Parramatta, I don't know if I could really trust them, but I'm going to lean towards Parramatta.
Yeah, the Roosters started really well last start, but Parramatta, I think they're playing probably better out of the two, and really both sides don't have much to play for. Both won't make semi-finals, so it, like you said, it's a hard one to pick, but I'll go Parramatta on current form.
Yeah, and that's the big thing, I think, what you've seen. I'd probably stick with Parramatta. Brock has gone Parramatta as well. The odds of William Hill, $1.70, Parramatta favourites, $2.15, the Roosters, -2.5. Is the line 1-12 Para, 325, 385 Roosters, 13 plus Eels, 330, 465 the Roosters. Dogs versus the Tigers. They lose, obviously, Clemmer and Jackson to Origin. Eastwood returns, Craig Garvey comes in, Holland, Tim Brown. So they've got an extended bench there, but the Morris is back together. Nice to see Rona playing in the centres, the position he came through the grades in. On the flip side, massive and the biggest loss of all, which gets me off the Tigers every time. No Tedesco. Woods is out, Farrah's out, so they've got Felice, Edwards, Adokar and Cheekham in. I'm going the Bulldogs. I think they've got enough still in their forward pack and their outside backs, and they've actually been a bit more easier to watch the last few weeks. They're moving the football a little bit more and offloading, and the Tigers without Tedesco, that's just, that's a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, Bulldogs are in form. Tigers, like you said, their spine is completely gone, so... Yeah,
you've
got to go to the Bulldogs.
Yeah, well, like I said, any time they need a safety blanket, the halves, they give it to Tedesco and he makes something happen. So I think they might get overpowered on this one. And William Hill agrees and Brock agrees. He's on the Dogs. $1.30 with William Hill, the Dogs. $3.55, the Tigers. -10.5 is the line. Dogs 1-12, $2.95. Tigers 5.50. 13 plus Dogs 2.10. Tigers $11. Your Penny Panthers. Only one change or two changes with McKendry. He's going to be out for the year. ACL, MCL, and obviously Mansour in Origin. Moylan not picked. Matungi and Will Smith come back into the side, onto the bench. Hardacre onto the wing. And on the flip side, Fifita out, Bird out, Maloney out, Gallen out, Graham out. Multitude of changes. Holmes comes back into the back line. Farmanu Brown, a bloke I got massive raps on, had a bad luck with injury. He's going to be at 6. And on debut... For the Sharkies, McKilrick and Semi Folau both played previously at other clubs. And Kurt Catewell, the first Ipswich player from last year from the Jets to get a start. He's been killing at New South Wales Cup. He's on the bench. Keep your eyes on him. He's a good back rower. Very handy footballer. With all those changes, I think this one's a bit easier, the Panthers. But, mate, from what I watch in Cup and the players that are starting this week for their forwards, like Pryor, Tagatese, Bikuya, the Sharks aren't going to be a pushover.
No, I'm tipping the Sharks. The Panthers' defence is absolutely terrible. I wanted to break into Penrith Stadium this week and hide every single Stevenite to find so I could just work on their defence. their defence is just, it's way off the mark. Hook keeps trying to play this power style of football, but I just don't think it suits the Panthers yet. And, yeah, I can't say it enough, but the defence is just terrible. So I've got to tip the Sharks. Until I see an attitude change in the defence, I can't tip them.
Yeah, well, like I said, usually when a bench moves into the starting side, you get a little bit worried, but they're pretty solid in that area this year. Like, to have Luke Lewis, Bakuya, Heinington, Tagger and Price start, that's not a bad thing. And in New South Wales Cup, like I said, I do a lot of those games have been very good this year. So Kirk Catewell and Farmandy Brown, I think he'd be a handy pickup for a lot of clubs who are looking for a number six. I think there'll be a lot more trouble than what Penrith are expecting. But,
absolutely.
The bookies,
the Panthers have that real sliding defence structure, and it really leaves the edges exposed with Cartwright and what's his name, the young half on the other side, Cleary.
Yeah, and
Cleary's doing well, but Cartwright says he's struggling big time.
Yeah, mate, just little mental lapses. I think he's definitely got to address that side of things. But with William Hill, they're heavy favourites. The Panthers $1.41, Sharkies $2.90. There, so some value for you, Gossip. -7.5 is the line. 1-12 Panthers $3.10. 3.10, and the Sharkies 4.55, 13 plus, Penrith is 2.45, Sharkies 7.25. And to finish things off, Raiders versus Cowboys. Papali's out for Origin, but is injured, so he's gone, and Bateman suspended, so Soliola and Clay Priest back in. Cowboys massively affected. O'Neill, Scott, Cooper, Tarmow, Thurston, obviously Morgan injured as well, so Benny Spina, Cohen Hess, Paddy Kafusi, Moga, and Josh Chudley finally getting his debut. He come up from Canberra and has played 9 there for a few years. Enough for me. Just cost Jason Thompson in the halves. They're still a very good side. And again, they'll give Canberra some trouble, I think. But Canberra have to win this game. It's a no-brainer with all those changes.
Yeah, Canberra never seems to win the game they're meant to, do they?
No. Who else has gone to Golden Point against the worst side in the comp? Like, only Canberra could do something like that.
Yeah, that's just, I don't know if it's a mental attitude. I'm not too sure what it is. Very tempted to pick the Cowboys, but I'll stick with the Raiders. I'll give them one more shot, but with no confidence whatsoever. I wouldn't be putting money on this game.
No, neither would I. And I tipped the Cowboys to beat the Dragons last time because I honestly thought without their Origin players they were still better, and they seemed to press the action a little bit too late. They played too safe. I thought they definitely could have won that one, but they're a good side, the Cowboys, but very short of Canberra at home, $1.28. The Cowboys, $3.70 with William Hill, -10.5 again, the line. 1-12 Raiders, $2.95, $5.50 the Cowboys, 13 plus the Raiders, $2.10, the Cowboys, $11. And I didn't really mention Brock's tips, but mate, we're all the same except you've gone the Sharkies. Me and him both went Eels, Dogs, Panthers and Raiders. Crap short rounds, like we said, so hard to make a lot of it, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens, I guess.
Yeah, better the round, $2.90, the Sharks over the Penny Panthers. Get on that one, I'll be having some of that.
Yeah, well, even the line value, 7.5, so one try or a bit under, or if you like multi-value, 12.5, $1.47, or 1-12 is $4.55. So there's some options there, but yeah, if you're confident about the straight-up win, $2.90, that's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be definitely having a little munch on that. Hopefully the kids won't go hungry.
Yeah, well, that's the one. Don't be eating wheat mix and sayos all week. Our charity bet this week for William Hill, it's a bit harder to pick a head-to-head game, so we've split $50. We're going to have Curtis Rona to score and the Dogs win, and Bevan French to score and Parramatta win. They're both $2.50, so if both win after the stake gets taken out, that will be $150 towards our charity. So fingers crossed for those ones. Fingers crossed for you, champ, that Penrith do prove you wrong and get your W and keep moving up the ladder. And looking forward to finally watching some full rounds after this painful Origin period is over, where New South Wales have crashed the bus again.
Yeah, can't wait for it to be over and we get back into the Club 40, what we live and breathe.
That's the one. Enjoy your weekend, champion, and good luck for the Panthers.
Thanks, champion. Enjoy the holiday.
No worries, mate. Have a good one. And a big thanks to Mr. Gossip. As always, if you want to catch him on Facebook, type in NRL Gossip in the search bar, and his Twitter handle is at NRL Gossip. But there is no more questions, so that wraps us up for this week. You got the Fast Five. We gave you the review of the games of the week. We answered all of your questions, all the odds from williamhill.com, our tips, and any gossip from Mr. Gossip. A big thank you again, as I had the live reads before, from Kaizen Sports Performance, Rugby League Coaching Manual, for both being on board, and in particular our major partner williamhill.com.au. If you're going to have a bet on the NRL or any sport, make sure you do it with William Hill. Don't live in the past with the tab and these guys where you can't bet live. You can cash out on your phone and bet in play with WilliamHill.com. So our two charity bets with William Hill. Last week we got one winner. Melbourne got up, so we banked some money there. And this week, $50 on Curtis Rona to score and the Dogs to win, and $50 on Bevan French to score and Parramatta to win. But otherwise, enjoy this last shortened round. The Origin period will then be over, and then we're back to the good stuff on the run home to the finals. And next week will be the last podcast I do with Brock before I head off over to Europe. That'll be released on a Sunday night. Oh, sorry, it won't be released on a Sunday night. We'll record as much as we can before I head off, and then you'll have Brock and Mr. Gossip doing Monday night all the tips and the dirt, and from then onwards he will be joined by Mr. Gossip, MG, and anyone else who decides to get on the show. But for now, enjoy your week and enjoy your rugby league.
Bring it on. Give us more. Where are you going? What's going on here? Is that it?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.